Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your co-host. And of course, I'd like to welcome back the amazing Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. How are you, Alistair?
I'm good, Rhea.
I came across something just the other day on company growth. And I'm seeing a lot of companies within the yachting industry, you know, they start off with a couple people or one person, and then they take steps and steps. And I don't think a lot of people are really prepared properly when their business starts to boom. It affects your valuation as a company, your taxation, your organization. So many people say, oh, just my business, you know, when it grows and I have more people working for me, it's going to make it easier. But that isn't necessarily the case, is it?
I think the challenges change. And I think for most business owners, it means at some point recognizing that you know, when you start up, you're working very much in the business, it's yours, and you're speaking to the clients, and you know, you're the face of it and doing most of the work. As it grows, and you can't scale up based on just yourself. So as you start bringing more people in and then having to sort of rely on them and make them responsible, that's quite a first change. I think, you know, when you get probably to 50 or 100,000 turnover, then going up to 250, you've got to start stepping out of doing the work yourself and actually working on the business rather than working in the business. And yeah, having a plan, I think, and starting to rethink about where you want to go is very important, and then how you're going to achieve it, because it certainly takes a very different skill set. And you see this with businesses that, you know, are successful and float off, that often the entrepreneur steps out of the CEO role as the business becomes more of a corporate machine, because it's a different skill set.
Well, and let me ask you, I mean, a lot of the times when you start looking at, you get to the point where you need employees or you need people to work with you. What is the difference between working with, say, contracting somebody or employing someone? Which is better when you're just getting to that growth stage?
I think it depends on what type of role it is. You know, I think using an executive probably is a first stage as someone's growing their business and needs more time. I think you've really got to focus on what are the things that you're doing that really aren't valuable for your time. You know, if there's stuff that you're doing that someone could do for 5 or 10 euros now, then you shouldn't be doing it. So bringing someone in, and a virtual assistant or a VA or an executive assistant can be
so more on a contract,
really useful.
Sort of,
yeah,
rather than employee, yeah, basis.
I think certainly when you're a sole practitioner, that gives you a bit more, you know, flexibility around. There's also that, you know, taking on employees is a big commitment for any business. You know, and you don't want to take someone on and then, you know, until you're sure the revenue is growing. So I think initially that contract type role works very well. I think as you need to actually bring people in to deliver your products or services, and maybe into sales roles or that sort of thing, then you probably need to bring employees in. Again, I think a lot of that's actually empowering them and being able to give them a responsibility to take on those roles and do it without you having to still be responsible whilst they do the work. Because I think that's where a lot of owners end up getting dragged back into the business and working in the business rather than really getting the value from their staff. And that's about creating the right culture, having the right systems and training in place that you can deliver the service that you'd like to deliver personally, but you can make sure that's consistent across the businesses as you're no longer involved.
Well, I guess there comes a breaking point, doesn't there? Like, you know, you're contracting people for this, and this, but at some stage that becomes more expensive than just hiring an employee, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can do. I think, I mean, obviously, you know, when you take on an employee, you're taking on a lot. You know, with a contractor, you're paying either for an hour or for certain deliverables, and it's not usually fairly definable. With an employee, you're having to pay for their holidays and taxes, and you know, you're taking there's a lot more costs than just the salary going out each month. So you need to make sure you're getting the value from that. And, part of that's having the right processes and training in place to make sure that they are equipped to do the job, the work that you want them to do.
How does that work for most companies? You know, you start off as an entrepreneur, as you know, sole trader, for example, and you get to a certain amount of income. You know, I know in Canada, you can earn up to, say, for example, $20,000 before they actually implement taxes. Does that work in most countries as well?
Yeah, there's normally thresholds, particularly for sales, your VAT and or goods and services taxes, depending on where you are. There's normally a threshold of turnover where you have to register for those. So that's worth keeping an eye on. And there's also that will change your accounting. You know, as a small business, you maybe elect to just account on a cash basis, which means you're recognizing your income when you get paid and your expenses when you pay them. As you get bigger, normally you'll be expected to go to what's called an accruals basis, where you're actually paying tax on your invoices, whether or not they've been settled. And that's, I think that's a crucial, as you grow, in particular rapid growth, you've got to be careful that growth coming with the right profit margins as well, that you're not, not risking what they call overtrading, which is, you're seeing your sales go up, but actually if your sales aren't priced properly and you're not making the profit margin on, then arguably you're not really adding anything to your business. There's no point doing lots of sales if they're not profitable sales and you're discounting, for instance. So I think pricing is extremely important for any business growing.
How do you figure out pricing?
That's a good long debate, and historically a lot of people have paid on time, particularly in service industries, accounting, professional services particularly have always been time-based industries. There's a big problem with that for businesses, is that actually you're limited in the amount of time that you have. So if you're charging on an hourly basis, there's only so many hours you can work, and the only way you can increase that revenue is in bringing more people in to have more people working more hours. There's also no connection often with the way that time is spent and the efficiencies in your business. So it's not very fair to customers. If they're paying for your time, but your time's not efficient, then they're probably going to have an argument or complaint about that at some point. So I think, figuring out where your value is and understanding your cost base. And again, you're going to have your fixed costs, which if you're renting premises and things, the insurance, those sort of costs, you know what they are and they're going to be covered. So you've got to factor those in, and then you've got to look at what are the additional costs that come in and how do they increase as you do more work. And I think for services businesses, being efficient is critical. Having systems in place so the people you as you bring employees on, they're trained in a way that you want to deliver the services that you're doing. They don't have scope creep where they start offering or doing something for someone and it's not actually in the fee. So having ways of capturing that and then pricing it.
Well, as an accountant, is that something that you're capable of working with a company to do?
The key is having the right data in the first place. If you've got the financial data, so I would start by looking at what data we've got and getting a business's financial processes robust, that you've got reliable financial information, and then you can start looking and saying, well, what if we rent another premises or take on three staff? How is that going to impact? A lot of the software allows accountants to do that sort of scenario modeling, but you've got to have the base data in place. And I think also what's really important for any business owner is actually understanding what do they want, what is their personal vision for the business, what do they want out of the business, what's their not just the business vision but their personal vision, because not everybody wants to grow to 100 staff, some people might be quite happy working in a business of five people. So understanding, you know, what people are trying to achieve and what the balance is in their lifestyle, I think is also important for any accountant to understand in then building the, you know, building the business that's going to support that vision.
It's almost as if an accountant is your business partner.
What a good accountant should be, you're very much part of your business, understand what you're trying to achieve in your personal vision, and then hold a business owner, you know, to some account around, well, you know, what are your goals and how you're achieving those things that are going to get, you know, the steps that are there to get to those goals, whether that's growing revenue, you know, and, you know, every business, whatever your vision is for your business, you need to, you have to make profit to be able to deliver that vision. If you want to do good in the world, your businesses are going to help you do that, or, you know, deliver that vision if it's profitable. And I think that's a big key. And I think also for a lot of small businesses and startups, when you're, it's tempting to discount prices to take clients on at the start. So there's often a stage where you've got to look at your client base and say, right, well, you know, where am I making, you know, where, not just who's the most profitable, or who's earning the most revenue out, but which one of those are profitable? Which ones do you enjoy working with? Where can you add, you know, more value in their relationships, and looking at the pricing around that as well? Because I think certainly as businesses, you know, grow, and it's natural, you pick some, you know, you take on a client when you're small and you don't have the overheads and maybe you don't have the staff, and you think, well, I can price that at this price. And then as you grow and you have maybe an office and more staff and things, that pricing probably isn't as realistic, and there comes a time where you need to have those discussions with clients and say, I need to increase the fees. And I think that's a natural stage that every business goes through.
From my point of view, it will cost you way more money not getting a proper accountant than it will to go to your local cheap tax person. Every single country has a ton of hidden little things that if you've got a proper accountant, can do the best job for you. And if you just do it on the cheap, you're probably missing out on so much money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. And there's also, you know, there's accountants who, it might be that you know, how you structure when you need new capital. If you want to grow, how do you buy something? Is it best to borrow? Is it best to look at getting private investors? How do you structure that? What's your business worth?
As a business owner, that sometimes you feel undervalued, and more than likely, from the sounds of it, it's because you're undervaluing yourself.
Yeah, I think we all have imposter syndrome. I think where, you know, am I really doing this? Am I good enough to do this? I think that's a fairly natural place for lots of business owners to have. And yeah, how we value ourselves, I think, very much comes through on the way we price and having that confidence to price for the services that we're delivering. It's definitely something that takes time, and it takes a skill to, you know, to communicate with clients as well. When a client says, well, can I have a discount? Or you get a friend of a friend who's referred to you and, you know, expects, or there's an expectation, or you feel as a business owner that you should be giving them a better rate. I think preparing and having the ability to have those conversations is really important. And, you know, going through your client base annually and you know, rating them is, you know, grading your clients, if you like, as what who's really profitable, and then looking at, you know, ones which maybe aren't a good fit for your business, because often, you know, there's always that 80-20 rule that, you know, 80% of your revenue is coming from 20% of your clients. Yeah. But if you're spending a lot of time, you know, I was talking to someone actually in the wine trade the other day, and he was saying he realized that, you know, he had a client which was causing huge amounts of work and worry and hassle. At the end, it was, you know, when he calculated it out and took the tax off and everything else, net, it was probably giving him something like 80 euros a week. And it was a very easy decision to say, no, I don't need I don't need that risk of not being paid and not having that client in for, it seemed like it, when you looked at the revenue, it's like, can I afford to lose them? But actually, when you went right through it and the amount of time you were spending on it, it was an exit case. And I think that's important.
Well, Alistair, just
to cap off, I mean, as well with yachts, we're talking about very expensive assets. And I think having the right, if you put a 20 million, 30 million euro yacht, whether it's, if you had that as a property or a business, you want to make sure you had the proper accounting advice and financial advice around it. And I think sometimes we, because it's an aspirational purchase and because it's personal and it's very much about your free time, sometimes that financial discipline isn't forefront of people's mind.
You've been listening to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. And of course, thanks to Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting, my co-host, for all the valuable information weekly. We'll see you again next week.